Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name's Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you our regular meeting times and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We hope and pray that you will see the need for God in your life and to have a son relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, who died in order to free you from the bondage of sin. We have been looking at great examples of the Bible. For the past few weeks, we have been studying the good story of the book of Esther, a woman of great courage. When we left off last Lord's Day morning, she had determined to go before the king. Now, after the fast had passed, Esther prepared herself to go before the king. She was standing outside the throne room when the king saw her. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that he found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter, chapter 5, verse 2. He would grant her any request up to half his kingdom, in verse number 3. What did she ask for? If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today for a banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, bring Haman quickly, that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared in chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. After this banquet, she requested another banquet the next evening with just the king and Haman. Why Esther did these banquets is not clear. Yet logic would lead us to believe she needed to know two things before she proceeded. The king preferred her to Haman, allowed enough time for her husband to be fully convinced of the full extent of Haman's plot. Why did Haman do after the first banquet? So Haman went out that day joyful and with glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate that did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai, chapter 5, verse 9. Yet he couldn't truly be happy. Why? Yet in all this avails me nothing, so long as I see this Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate, in chapter 5, verse 13. His wife Zeresh and his friends had a suggestion to solve this problem. Let the gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily to the king to the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows built, in chapter 5 and verse 14. Haman's plot begins to unravel. Was Haman in control of this situation? Never. God was in control. We see his providence begin to work when the king could not sleep that night. So one was commanded to bring to the book of the records of the Chronicles that they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told Bigtha and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, and the doorkeeper who had sought to lay hands on the king. Then the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for what he did? And the king's servants who attended him said nothing was been done for him, in Esther 6, verse 1 and 3. This man was not rewarded. The king was about to change that, but how? He sought advice. Who did he go to? So Haman came in, and the king asked, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? How Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? Verse 6, since he was the number two man of the king, he must be talking about him. So he gave the king this suggestion. For the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has rode and ridden, which was at a royal crest placed on his head. Then let this robe and the horse be delivered to the hand of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor, then parade him on horseback through the city square, and proclaim before him, thus says shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then Haman was going to get the shock of his life. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai, the Jew who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. So Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on the horseback through the city square and proclaimed him, thus it shall be to the man whom the king delights to honor, in Esther 6, verse 10 and 11. Haman was so mortified that he hung his head and hurried home, in verse 12. What did his wife and friends now say? If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him, verse 13. Haman did not have time to take that statement in, for he was being summoned to the banquet with the king and Esther in chapter 6, verse 14. Now the time was right to inform the king of her true request. For we have been sold, and my people and I, to be destroyed and to be killed, and to be annihilated, and to be destroyed. Have we been sold as male and female slaves? I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate me for the king's loss. Esther 7, verse 4. The king did not even know that Esther was a Jew, or that these people that Haman had planned to exterminate. What did the king want to know? Who is he? Where is he? Who would dare to presume in his heart to do such a thing? Esther 7, verse 5. The cat is now out of the bag. Esther drops the bombshell with her next statement. The adversary and the enemy is that wicked Haman. So Haman was terrified before the king and before the queen. Esther 7, verse 6. Haman needed to be afraid. The king was so angry that he fled from their presence, in verse 7. Haman had used the king to avenge a personal grudge. No one likes being used, but think if you were the king. Haman began pleading with Esther for his life. He knew the king was furious. When the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was lying. Then the king said, will he also assault the queen while I am in the house? As the words left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Esther 7:8. The man that wanted to rid the Jews from the earth now has his own fate in Esther's hands. Haman, so weak from fear, probably fell on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king caught him in a compromising position. His face was covered. He now was a condemned man. What should be done to Haman? Look to gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who speaks good on the king's behalf. He is standing at the house of Haman. The king said, hang him on it. A tragic twist. The man that Haman thought to hang would now succeed him. So the king took off the signet ring, which was taken from Haman, gave it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. Esther 8, verse 2. Then Esther asked the king for one final request. Now Esther spoke again to the king and fell down at his feet and implored him with tears to counteract the evil Haman, the Agagite, and that the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. And the king held out the golden scepter towards Esther. So Esther arose and found favor in the sight, and the thing seemed right to the king, and I am pleasing in your eyes. Let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, to exterminate the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that will come on my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction on my countrymen? Then the king said to the queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, indeed I have given Esther the house of Haman. So they hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. You yourself write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring will by no one be revoked. Esther 8, verse 3-8. The Jews have been spared, and Esther had helped to see it accomplished. They were given the right to defend themselves if any would try to attack them. They killed over 75,000 enemies who tried to destroy them on the 12th, 13th day of Adar. The 14th day and the 15th day become the Feast of Purim. It's a feast that is still celebrated by the Jews today as a remembrance of their deliverance from the king who, from Haman's evil plot that tried to destroy them because of the faithfulness of Esther and because of her uncle Mordecai. And so we see that when that day comes, the Jews are spared. They are not exterminated. They are not wiped off the face of the earth. And now the remnant is still alive and well that will bring Christ into the world. So what do we learn? We learn that God can take his providence and he can provide the things that are necessary in order to make his will be done without intervening in a miraculous way. What lessons can we learn from Esther? Well, the providence of God is in the life of his people. God's providence still works today. We pray, we trust God, and his providence will give us the answer. Vashti is to be commended. Modesty is never out of date. It is something still that we should practice today. The evils of drinking alcohol were on display, for all these things were set in motion because of the evil of alcohol and the drunken state of the king and his princes and those that were invited to the priest, a feast. The foolishness of superstition. We might have succeeded had it not delayed his action to kill the Jews. He was superstitious, so he waited a number of months. That gave enough time for God's providence to be put into work. Another lesson we learn, who knoweth whether thou hast come through a kingdom to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther 4 and verse 16. Mordecai's statement to Esther, these are troubled times even in the Lord's kingdom. Yet how can we know that we have not been placed here to make a difference now? We can see disturbing events around us as problems and challenges. They could be a stumbling block or hurdles even. We decide which. Esther was fearful, then faithful. We see that she saw an insurmountable obstacle, but she eventually accepted her as a door of opportunity in order to overcome it. You see, be sure that our sins will catch up with you. We are told that in Numbers 32, verse 23. There are consequences for our actions and our decision. We cannot hide our sins from God, Hebrews 4, verse 13. We need never get too high-minded, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Sin unforgiven at judgment will cost us our souls. Haman thought everything was his way. He thought that people should bow and respect him. And he was not concerned with God. He was only concerned with himself. But in the end, Haman's the one that lost. Not the Jews, not Esther, and not Mordecai. He was the one that lost. Why? Because he forgot about God. He forgot about God, and he forgot that all men will give an account. All men will live to give an account to God for their actions. None are exempt, and none will be able to miss the judgment. And so Esther is a great example of a woman of courage. She could have died. She could have been, her life could have been taken for going in the presence of the king. But she understood that she was in a unique position where she could help do what the people of God could not do for themselves. We need to remember that God's ways are not our ways. And we must always remember that God and his people come before us. And that it's never just about us. That we should always be concerned about the needs and the desires of others. Philippians 2, verse 2 through 5 teaches us that truth. And so Esther was a great woman of courage, one that took her life in her hands in order to save her people, and she was rewarded by saving her people from being exterminated. Because why? She trusted God, and trusted God that in his way that God would prevail, and God